Begin the current daf, Masechet Chulin daf Kuf Tes. We begin 12 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, and that is the Gemara had said, the Machlekes Amirom we had regarding if Efshel Asachta is Mutra Asr, which related to the Halach of our Mishnah, is actually Machlekes Tanoim, which basically means to say that when something prohibited falls into something permitted, and then that previously permitted item, which is now forbidden, gets mixed with other things, do we say that now it could spit out what was prohibited inside of it and thus actually making itself back permitted, and then that original element is what is qualified now in the new mixture? Or do we say that whole original permitted item is now entirely a prohibited item? So we said it's a machlokes tanoim. Where do we find this? So the Gemara quoted a brice regarding a case similar to the halach of our Mishnah. A drop of milk fell on a piece of meat. So the first opinion, that of Rabbi Yehuda, said, oh, once it gave taste to the piece of meat, that piece became a piece of nevela. It's like its own prohibited element. And now, since it's min b'mina with the rest of the piece of meat, that's what Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is. Everything is forbidden. Chum disagreed. They said, no, until the drop of milk, at least that's what we assumed initially, and that's what Agamar's question is going to be, that until that drop of milk gives taste to all the contents that's in the pot of the meat, until it goes and does that, which it doesn't have, then everything, even including the original piece, is going to be permitted. That Rebbe said, it appears to me to hold like Rebbe Yehuda when it wasn't mixed and wasn't covered, and it appears to me the words of the Chacham when it was mixed and when it was covered. I think Gemara qualified, what did Rebbe mean when he says if it wasn't mixed and wasn't covered? Must be talking about it wasn't mixed in the beginning, but it was covered at the end. There where you hold that, oh, Efshel Asachta is Aser, since the piece became a piece of Nevela, that Rebbe agrees to Rebbe Yehuda, and he agrees that Min B'Mina is Aser, so therefore then that piece of meat originally became Aser, now the other piece of meat cannot nullify, therefore everything is going to be Aser. But what he does disagree with Rebbe Yehuda was regarding if it was mixed from the beginning, Rebbe Yehuda was concerned maybe it wasn't mixed so well, Rebbe says no, he's not concerned with that, then if it was mixed from the whole time, then he would agree to the Rabbanan that it's going to be mixed, and that's actually what he means when he says he agrees to the Rabbanan. When it was mixed and it was covered, it means from the whole time, that's where but the Rabbanan say even that it's going to be mutter even when it wasn't mixed the whole time, which obviously proves that they hold Efshel Asachta is mutter. That was the Machlokes Tanaim that we proved. However, on that, the Gemara continues and asks, Amalei Rav Acha Madiftel Ravina. It says, Mimai de be'efshel asachta pligi. How do you know that the concept they're disagreeing about is, if we say efshel asachta, that could we view squeezing out that drop of milk from that original piece of meat, even though it originally absorbed it? And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the whole thing's forbidden now. If you mix it later on, now you're just mixing the prohibited meat molecules and the rest of the meat, and everything's going to be asr. Whereas Rabbanan say, no. Yeah, the drop of milk that was originally absorbing this piece of meat could come out now. Now it's not enough taste of that milk in the whole pot. Not only is the whole pot permitted, but even the original piece is permitted. Says Gemara, how do you know that when the Chachamim say, Achatitin Tam, until it gives taste into the whole pot, if it doesn't give taste in the whole pot, everything, even the original piece, is permitted, that they're abundant when they said that going on the original drop of milk, and therefore we had interpreted that even the original piece of meat is going to be permitted. And then he says, why? Dilma, maybe actually the first piece of meat, most definitely the Rabbanu would agree that it's prohibited. Because Efshel Asachta Divrei HaKol Aser, maybe everyone agrees that regarding this concept of could you squeeze it out, everyone agrees that no, that's forbidden. The original piece becomes forbidden. Now, but it was regarding to the second step, the second part of Yehuda's statement, that he said, oh, so if that's the case, so it's Chanan, so the original piece of meat is forbidden, now the whole pot, even if there's 1,000 other pieces of meat, when it's subsequently mixed, they're all going to be Aser, because it's the same species. Maybe and that's what the Rabbanan disagreed. Because V'hacha b'min b'mina kamiflagi, maybe their disagreement is regarding the halacha of can you have bittul nullification when it's the same type. Rabbi Yehuda l'tamei, Rabbi Yehuda goes according to his reasoning that's always mentioned, d'amar min b'mina le'batal. He says when it's the same species, it's not nullified. Rabban l'tamei, d'amar min b'mina batal. Whereas Rabban, they're going according to their opinion that they hold that no, even when it's the same type, you could have nullification. And what they were saying is that what's not going to make it usr until it gives taste throughout? Not the original drop of milk, that first piece of meat will not make the rest of the pieces forbidden until that piece of meat has taste that it could give throughout all the other elements in the pot. Because they hold min b'mina could be batal. That's their machlekes. Now, what was Rebbe saying when he says, oh, it appears to me Rebbe Yehuda here, and it appears to me the Rabban will be here? It would be as follows. Rebbe would be saying, it appears to me the opinion of Rebbe Yehuda to say that everything in the pot, even all the other pieces, are going to be forbidden, is talking about when it wasn't mixed in the beginning. If it wasn't mixed in the beginning, So then that original piece got the prohibited taste, and it itself becomes prohibited. And it was only mixed, however, at the end. Oh, so then it was mixed at the end. Then all its tastes get spit out into the other pieces of meat. And min b'minei, Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yehuda, that loy batel. But he says, I don't hold of Rebbe Yehuda's opinion when it was mixed from the beginning, because then it never became usher in the first place. And he doesn't hold, like we had said in the previous stuff on top of the summit, from the halacha of that maybe it wasn't mixed so well. And he says, I hold the opinion of the Rabbanu who says it's all permitted when it was mixed in the beginning, like we just explained, because it never became an isser in the first place. And like we said, he's not concerned that maybe it wasn't mixed so well. But I don't hold of them that it's all going to be permitted, even the other pieces, when it wasn't mixed in the beginning, but only at the end, because in that case, he says, then the first piece did become an isser, and then at the end, it is when it's going to be mixed, making all the other pieces usher, even the mashru, because Rebbe holds like Rebbe Yehuda, that min b'min is loy batel. Maybe that's the machlekes. How do you know that we're saying efshel sachtei if it's asa mutz machlekes tanoi? Maybe everyone holds it's asr, and here the machlekes is min b'minai. Says Gemara, hi mai, what is this? What are you trying to say? Is that an option in explaining their machlekes? I amet b'shleime. If you say the way we had originally postulated, the rabbanan b'min b'minai hacha krebihu desvir lehu, that actually everyone agrees when it's min b'minai, that's not going to be batel. Now. And not like the Gemara is questioning now. No, everyone agrees, you're right, in regards to the element of min b'minai, it's not going to be nullified. But, as we had originally said, but it's regarding the first piece that Rabban is saying it's going to be permitted, because hefshel sachtei they hold is mutter, and until the original piece of the drop of milk gives taste throughout everything, that was going on the drop of milk, not on the piece of meat. Like we said, that their machlekes is regarding is, do you say you could squeeze out an isser or not? So, how we originally have said, which is how the Gemara is concluding, that would make sense what Rebbe was saying, I'm like Rebbe Yehuda in this, and I'm like Rabbana in this. Meaning, it's appropriate to say that I like the opinion of the sages who permit it when it was mixed originally, because it never absorbed in the first place. So never absorbed, and he doesn't hold Rebbe Yehuda's gezeira that maybe wasn't mixed well. It would make sense to say that he's saying like the Rabbanan. But the way you're asking now that you want to say that everyone holds, you cannot squeeze out an Isser from something that absorbed Isser, that the whole permitted thing is now one piece of Isser. And you wanted to say, oh, that this Rabbanan said it's permitted, is whether, as it's obvious, as we had explained at the top of the Sama in the previous daf, that they say it's permitted whether it was mixed in the beginning, or whether it wasn't mixed in the beginning. And what they're saying is it's regarding the rest that's going to be permitted, because of min b'minai, that you're saying that they hold that it's batel, and you want to interpret that when it says until it gives a taste and throughout the whole pot, it's not going to the original drop of milk, but rather on that first piece of meat, which definitely did become aser. And v'ha'cha b'min b'min k'mifuge, and you want to explain that their machlik is not an efshel sachta. Efshel sachta is aser, you're right, the original piece of meat they hold is aser. But the question is, okay, but you have 1,000 other pieces of meat to this one piece of meat, and it's regarding that they're disagreeing about. And that says the Gemara, if that's the case, then hai nirin de Rebbe Yehuda ve'ein nirin mibayle. The words should have been that, okay, in this I hold of Rebbe Yehuda, and this I don't. But how could Rebbe have said, as he does say, that I do hold like the Chachamim in a certain case when it was mixed in the beginning, but the way you're explaining the Rabban hold that it's always, the original piece is always going to be forbidden. Now, why is the original piece always going to be forbidden, even if it was mixed all the way in the beginning? Obviously, and this is how Rashi explains, is because they hold of Rebbe Yehuda's Gezerah that maybe it wasn't mixed so well. And you want to say their whole machlekes is, okay, but what's with the other pieces? Min b'min d'batel or not? But Rebbe, from the fact that he says that the reason why it's going to be permitted when it was mixed from the beginning is, and that's why he's saying that's when it's permitted when it was mixed from the beginning, obviously, why would that be? Why would that be? What's the contingency of being mixed from the beginning? Is obviously because then even the first piece is going to be permitted because it never absorbed by itself. And and therefore, it's regarding that he doesn't hold like neither Rebbe Yehuda, who says it's all forbidden, and then you can't even say holds like the Chachamim, who at least permit the other pieces, but they say the first piece is forbidden. If Rebbe was coming to tell us, like the Chachamim, if Rebbe was going to tell us that, like Rebbe, like the way the Gemara's question is, that Rebbe holds min b'mina is not batel. But, however, he does not have the concern that maybe it wasn't mixed so well. Like the Gemara's question is, it should have said it differently, like the Gemara said. It should have said, look, I hold like Rabbi Yehuda that they're all going to be forbidden, only in the case when it wasn't mixed in the beginning, it was only mixed at the end. So since the original piece got the taste and it became forbidden, so then it's like a chanan, it's like a piece of nevela, and yeah, Efshel Shaftas Astra, like the Gemara's question, wants to say everyone agrees to that principle. And then it's going to make all the other pieces also, even in a small amount, even if there's 1,000 other pieces, because mim min le batel. But then he should have said, but what I don't agree with Rabbi Yehuda is when it was mixed from the beginning. Because Rabbi Yehuda is concerned that maybe it wasn't mixed so well, and therefore they're all going to be forbidden. On that, you could say Rabbi's disagreeing. He says, no, since it was mixed, we don't have to have such a concern. And even the first piece is going to be permitted. However, from the fact that he says that no, nirin divri chachamim, that he agrees to the chachamim, what are you agreeing? Obviously, he's agreeing that even the first piece is permitted, because that's the whole principle, right, why Rebbe's saying it's all permitted, because if the first piece was usher, everything would be usher. Rebbe's whole principle based on the first piece is permitted. If he's saying that's what he agrees to the Chachamim, obviously it's because the Chachamim is saying that even the first piece is permitted. And if the first piece is permitted, then you must be saying that atcha titain, until it gives taste throughout the whole pot, must be going in a drop of milk and not on that first piece of meat. And because they hold efshal safta is mutter, if you could squeeze it out, it's going to be permitted. And therefore, they're saying their halacha, even if it was only mixed at the end, not in the beginning, still they're going to say even the first piece of meat is going to be permitted because you could squeeze it out and it's going to be permitted. And we don't say chaticha nas navela. We don't say that first piece, it all became an intrinsic isser. And says the Gemara Basulei Midi. And there's nothing more to talk about. We don't have to change the sugya how we had originally learned that the Gemara was asking, oh, maybe everyone holds Efshel Seichtes Asa. No, rather, like we said on the previous stuff, that everyone agrees that the dispute between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan is regarding if we say Efshel Seichtes by itself is at Asr or it's going to be Mutter. And then Rashi goes through a discussion based on this Gemara's discussion. It comes out that it appears Rebbe holds like Rabbi Yehuda in the basic principle Efshel Seichtes Asa, and so it brings that we have from the previous stuff Rav, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Chanina also hold like that. And although that there are those who dispute, we're going to pass him like Rav and like Rabbi Yehuda, and we're going to do like Rabbi Yehuda. And regarding other halachas, similarly regarding what's called Isra Davuk, when you have when it's attached to the piece of meat, so it's giving a taste by itself. It's no matter how small it is, going to make the thing forbidden, and you're going to say chanan, and it's not going to help for the other pieces to nullify because everything is going to be usr, because we hold like Rabbi Yehuda also regarding min b'minay, that is not going to be batel. Now the Gemara continues to halacha, the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme about basa b'chalav. So the Gemara says a unique case, hakal, the udder, which is the place where the animal gets milked. So what's interesting is that you have the alveoli, you have the meat itself, that in the meat there's milk over there. So like Rabbeinu Gershom says, when someone's going to coming to cook the udder itself, so you have an intrinsic basa b'chalav problem. So the halacha says the Mishnah kairai, so you have to tear open the ducts, the where the milk is. Umaytzit chalba, you have to remove the milk, and then you cook that piece of meat of the udder of the animal. Now, but it says the Mishnah loikari, if the person did not tear open the udder before he cooked it, einar oivolav, he's not violated for his eating to get lashes for having eaten basa b'chalav, neither for the isra of bishul of basa b'chalav, because it's not called milk yet until it actually comes out of the animal, out of the udder. But the Gemara will explain if there's at least a rabbinic prohibition or not regarding the fact that one is ultimately cooking this milk inside with the meat. Now, a similar type of a case regarding other isurim, halev, the heart of an animal. Kairai umaytzeh dame. Before one cooks the heart, if he wants to eat it, he has to first tear it open also, because it also has something prohibited inside of it, which is the blood, that's where the heart is, the primary area of the blood. One has to tear it out, remove the blood, because blood is prohibited to be eaten. Now, loikar, if one does not tear it out, so in oivolav, he has not violated to get the punishment over there for eating blood, which is actually of karas. Now, the Gemara increases that from Beis Manav explains that the halacha of a Mishnah is talking about the heart of a bird. The heart of a bird does not have such a large quantity of blood to be kezias. But in actuality, if it was the heart of an animal, one would be chayev karas if he doesn't tear it out after it's cooked, because he is going to be consuming a kezias of blood, which actually would give him a punishment of karas. Now, but that's only regarding the blood that's contained and gathered in the heart itself. But the flesh of the heart, One's not violating anything, because even when it's cooked together with the blood, the heart is smooth and doesn't absorb anything. As the Gemara says in Pesachim, Dafayin Dalma Beis, Shani Leib, the heart is different, the Shia, that it's smooth, nothing gets absorbed over there. So it's not the problem that it gets absorbed with the blood. The problem is just the actual blood that is over there. Therefore, one would not get punishment of Karis only if it's a small heart, but if it's actually a big heart, he actually would, because it would be a Shir Kizayis of Dam. The Gemara continues on Beis and explains the opening halach of our mission regarding this Chal, the udder. Amr Bzeira Mirav, he says, Eina Oivralav, this is what our Mishnah says, that if he went ahead and he cooked and then he ate this udder that was, he didn't tear the milk out beforehand, he has not violated biblically, and the mutter, it's actually even permissible initially to eat it if he had already cooked it. And the chiddush, the novelty in this is that we don't say that it should at least be rabbinically prohibited, because although the Gemara tells us later on the Kofir Alf Mid Aleph that when you do squeeze out the milk from the udder and it comes out, although it's not live milk, it's what's called chalav shchuta, it's milk from a slaughtered animal, that although it's not biblically the prohibition of milk, but rabbinically we will consider it. But that's what the Chiddush Rav is saying in the Halacha of Mishnah. Here, since it never got separated from the animal, it actually, when it was cooked with the udder, got absorbed into that meat, there's not even going to be a rabbinic isser of basa b'chalav. However, the Gemara asked from our Mishnah, but not now, we learned in the Mishnah that says, Einar Oivralav, he has not violated to get the penalty for having eaten basa b'chalav. But that sounds like mi'avrhu delei aver, he has not violated to get lashes, ha'isuri ikka, but it sounds like there is at least a prohibition, albeit on the rabbinic level. Says the Gemara, no, bedinu di isuri namileka, the truth is, not even a rabbinic prohibition. But va'aydi debay l'misna seif, but since we want to say the contrast for the end of the Mishnah that said a similar case of halev regarding cooking of the heart, kairei mitzvah dami, we said you first have to tear it and take out the blood, and then you could go ahead and consume the heart. And it said, loy kairei ein oivralav, which sounded similar halacha, it says that, and if you didn't tear it and you went and you ate it, you're not going to violate to get karis. But that's only hasam mi'avahu d'le'avah. Yeah, there specifically, one has not violated to get the penalty of the lashes because there's no share of a kezayis. Ha'isuri ikka. But there actually, there would be a prohibition because of what's known as chatzi shirasam natayra. Even if the amount of blood is less than the kezayis, although one's not going to get the penalty, one still has the initial prohibition on a biblical level because even half of measurements are biblically prohibited. So that's why it says, yeah, not going to be over in it because they actually would have an iser. So Tani Namai Reisha, therefore the first case also said, Eina Oivralav, that you're not going to be violating to get the penalty, but the truth is not only you're not going to get the penalty, there's not even a prohibition, not biblical, because biblically it's not considered milk, because it's Chalav Shchuta, and it's not even rabbinically, because it never even came out, it was always inside, and actually just got absorbed, and therefore it's not even rabbinically prohibited like Rav. So the Gemara says, Lim Sayeli, let's say from a Braisa that supports Rav. The Braisa says this case, Hakchal, regarding the udder, you have to first tear it open and take out the milk before you cook it. But loikari, if you have not torn it, you haven't violated. Halev, in contrast to heart, you have to tear it and take out the blood. Now, loikari, listen how the Braisa says it, there if you didn't tear it, it says, okay, then you could tear it after it was cooked, and then the heart's going to be permitted to be eaten. So it sounds like levhu debayi kriya. The heart, even after it was cooked, yeah, there you're going to have to tear it to remove the blood. It sounds like, but regarding the udder, after it was cooked, it does not have to be torn. From the fact that the Tana didn't say in the first case too, oh, if you didn't tear it, so then tear it after it's cooked. So it sounds like, yeah, that even initially one could go ahead and eat it, and there's not even a rabbinic problem. Says the Gemara, no, Dilma, maybe the reason why it didn't say it by the Reisha is actually the opposite. Maybe it's worse. Maybe levu desagile bikriya. Maybe the heart, it's sufficient to tear it open even after it was cooked, because, like we said, even though it was cooked together, the heart, the flesh of the heart didn't absorb any of the blood because it's totally smooth, nothing comes in. So yeah, you could just tear it even afterwards and get rid of the blood. But avokal, but maybe we're going to the udder, which is soft, which is meat, there maybe the milk already got absorbed in through the cooking, maybe loisakile bikriya. Maybe it's not sufficient to tear it and it's already too late and it's already rabbinically prohibited and maybe you can't eat it at all. So there's no proof, maybe it's actually the opposite. So the Gemara has not proven either way. Now, that was one version that we said of Rav. Vigadami, that those that say that Amr B'Zeir Marav, Eina Oivralav V'Aser, that actually, although there's no violation to get lashes for having eaten this udder that was cooked with this milk, but rabbinically it is prohibited. That's what this version says. Says the Gemara. Now, the opposite of the first version. Let's say it's supported from the halacha of a Mishnah. A Mishnah says, "Eino ivra lav, if one has eaten the udder without tearing out the milk first after it was cooked, he doesn't get the penalty." Sounds like me ever who delay over. He has not violated to get the penalty. But rabbinically, it's prohibited like the second version of Rav. So the Gemara, no, but then the Isur and Amaleka, the truth is, we could even say that not like Rav, that there's not even a rabbinic problem. But for Aydi Deboy, the Mishnah safer. But since we wanted to say the second case of the Mishnah, Halev Kari Mitzis Damoy, that the heart, oh, so there you have to tear it and take out the blood. Loy Kari, if you have not torn it, Eino Everlov, you have not violated the Hasami Abahu Delay Over. HaIsur Ikka, there, yeah, you're not going to get the penalty, but there is the biblical prohibition of even Chatzi Sheras from that Torah. So Tanei Ami Reisha, Eino Everlov, and therefore the Reisha also, just to keep that uniformity, also said Eino Everlov, but truth is, maybe there's not even an Isur, even like a Tchila. So therefore there's no Raya. So the Gemara says, Toshima, let's bring a Raya not like Rav, the inverse of the first version. The Braisa said, HaKchal Kari Moitzes Chalboi. The udder, you have to tear it out and remove the blood before you cook it. Loi Kari, Eino Everlov, you have not torn it, you haven't violated it if one's going to consume it. Meaning to get the penalty. Halev kari mitzis dami, the heart, you tear it and also you have to remove the blood first. Loi kari lacha bishuli mutter. If you haven't torn it, so you tear it after it's cooked and that's permitted. Sounds like lev hu debay kri, it's by the heart that you have to tear it, of a khala bay kri, but the heart, you don't have to tear it, means to say that ain't no evil love is meaning there's not even the initial problem, because if it was, okay, so at least tear it after that it was cooked, you see that there's no problem. So the Gemara, no, dima lev hu do sagi lev kri, maybe the heart, it's sufficient to tear it, and there's something to do about it. But the other, there's no, you can't even help it by tearing, it already got absorbed and you can't get it out by tearing, and therefore maybe it's actually going to be like Rav, maybe it actually it is also like Itchil, and maybe that's actually why it doesn't say that case, because there's nothing to do about it, and rabbinically it's already prohibited to eat. The Gemara says, however, Tani Kalishnei Kamad de Rav. We have a braisa that supports the first version of Rav, that it's actually even initially permitted, and that it's not even a rabbinic prohibition. The Braisa says, clearly, Khal Shabishli Bechal, but regarding the udder that was cooked with its milk, mutter, that it's permitted, so it says clearly, like the first version, that not only you're not going to be over, but if you didn't take out the milk, it's even permitted to go ahead and eat it, not even rabbinically prohibited as Chal B'Shkuta, because it never came out, it was always inside, therefore never retaining even the rabbinic definition of Chalav to be considered a Prama Bas Bechal. However, continues the Braisa, but a similar but different case is Keva, one of the stomachs of a calf or of a lamb, which this animal had nursed milk from its mother, and now it's in its stomach, which is similar to udder, which the milk is contained in the meat, here also the milk is contained in the stomach of the animal. Here, however, shebishl b'chelba, if it was cooked with its milk, also there's going to be forbidden. So on that the question is, u'mahafresh bin zel azeh, so what's the difference? Aren't they both the same thing? Aren't they both meat that have inside contained milk? Says the Gemara, no, zeh, here by the keva, by the stomach, Kanus b'meyav, it's gathered in its stomach. But once it left the udder of the mother, it already became milk. It was already in the world. So therefore, it's regular bona fide milk, which would be a problem with bas b'chal. But in contrast, v'zeh, here by the kal, by the udder, ain't kanus b'meyav, it's not gathered in its stomach. It never left the udders of the animal when it was alive. It's not gathered. It was always absorbed in the flesh. And therefore never came into the category of being considered and being called milk. It was rather considered like part of the flesh of the animal. But you're right, like we said, initially one has to tear it, but that's rabbinically. But again, if it was never came out, then we said it could even be permitted initially, or that's discussion. But the point is that it will be permitted. One will not have violated after the fact. Now the Gemara says, Ketzad Kari. So how does one go about doing this halacha? But initially we said one has to tear the khal to remove the milk. How does one do this? So, Amar Rabbi Huda, and this will be a discussion regarding all the different opinions regarding how we understand this halacha, as we mentioned before, from the two versions of Rav, how do we define it? But Amar Rabbi Huda says, Kairi Shasi Ba'arv, what you have to do is you have to tear it the length and the width of that udder, and B'tochu B'kais, the more of you have to squeeze it, push it with one's hands against the wall, so you can squeeze out all the milk from the udder. Now, however, Amar Li Rabbi Lazar L'Shamoy, Rabbi Lazar said to his attendant, Karali, I want you to tear open for me the udder, before we roast it, and then I'll eat the udder. So the Gemara says, "My kamashma, what's this teaching us? Masnitni, this dalach of a Mishnah. We said initially one has to go ahead and tear open the udder and remove the milk, and then it's going to be permitted." Says the Gemara, "How kamashma? But this is what this teaching of Rabbi Lazar is telling us, that he was telling his attendant just tear it, either in the length or in the width, because that's sufficient." And any milk that drops out will drop down on the bottom because he was roasting it. The moment it comes out and becomes milk, okay, at that moment, it's never going to come back. And that's the chiddush, the lebi'in and shasi v'ar v'tach b'kosa, that you don't need to have tearing in the length and the width and squeezing against the wall. That is, he held that you don't need shasi v'arv to tear it in the length and the width, to get everything out, only when you're cooking in a pot. There, you most definitely have to get everything out in the beginning. Because when it's subsequently going to be coming out, that's bona fide milk. And then it's going to go ahead and be cooking with it because it's in the pot and it's going to be gathered together. Now, although we mentioned before that if one had cooked the udder with its milk inside, it's going to be permitted, that he holds, that actually was referring to roasting. Because as we find, Paskin Divayamim, Vayavash La Pesach, that they cooked the carbon Pesach, which actually has to be roasted, so the roasting could also be considered cooking. So yeah, there is where we say that if you didn't take it out, it's going to be permitted. But if not, he actually holds, it actually would be problematic, because then you'd be cooking, which he holds with bona fide milk, then you'd have to tear it, Shasi V'ar. But in the regular case of roasting, you could just make a tear, and that would be sufficient, because whatever is inside had never been removed, and whatever was removed is just going to fall on the bottom, on the coals, and it's not going to get recooked in it to be considered a bona fide problem. Now, continuing on this theme, Amar Le Yalta L'Rav Nachman. Yalta, who is the wife of Rav Nachman, said to her husband, Mechti, let's see. This is an important principle in life. Kol Da'asa Lan Rachman, whatever the Hashem, the Torah, made forbidden for us, Shara Lan Kavasei, he made it permitted us something that's similar. Where if it's not purposeful to go ahead and do things that are forbidden, because one will get it in a permitted way and actually get reward for that. Aslan Dhamma, for example, he said that blood is forbidden for us to consume, and Sharalan Kavda, and he permitted for us to eat liver, which is all congealed blood, and it has the taste of blood. Moreover, a woman is forbidden when she has the blood of Nida, of menstruating blood, but he made the woman permitted for a husband when she has Dam Tayar, when she has permitted blood, which is when she has the hymenal, the blood, which is when she's her blood of virginity, of besulim, or a woman who gave birth, that blood is also considered made tayar, that's permitted blood. Chelav behema, the certain fats of a domesticated animal are forbidden. Chelav chaya, those same fats are permitted by a wild animal. Chazir, the swine is forbidden to be eaten. But then you have meicha, you have the brain of a fish, which is the shibuta, that's called shibuta, which its brain tastes the same as chazir, which is permitted. You have Girusa, you have a non-kosher bird called Girusa, and you have Lishna de Kavra, you have the tongue of a fish, which has the same taste as the Girusa, which is permitted. You have Eshes Ish, a married woman is forbidden. But Girusha b'chayibali, you have a divorced woman when her husband's still alive, which is the same idea, which is permitted. You have Eshes Ach, a brother's wife is forbidden. You have Yavama, you have the laws of Yavama, Yibum, when her husband dies without any children, then his sister-in-law is permitted to him. You have Kutis, it's forbidden to have relations with a non-Jewish woman. But then you have Yafas Tayar. You have the what's called the beautiful maiden who, when is taken in captivity, who the non-Jewish woman then is permitted to the Jewish man. So she said to her husband, Be'inu l'meichel bisra b'chalba. I want to eat basra b'chalba. What could I find that's permitted, that's similar to the prohibition of eating a mixture of milk and dairy, of milk and meat? So Amar Rav Nachman l'tabachis, Rav Nachman said to his butchers, Zvikui, which is a terminology of like a spit or like shish kebab, zvikula, go ahead and give to her kachali, roast on the spit the udder, which has milk and meat in it, and that she'll be able to have a permitted way of basa b'chalav. And this says the Gemara, but v'anan t'nam b'rlin, the Mishnah said kairai, everyone agrees, even the more lenient interpretation of Rav, which said even if einu oivalav, but and it's going to be permitted after the fact. But initially, to go ahead, everyone agrees you have to rip out and tear the milk from the udders. How could Rav Nachman initially have done this to feed his wife this dish of the udders with the milk inside? Says the Gemara, Hahu l'kedera. He understood and learned in the halacha of our Mishnah that halacha of requiring it to be torn, which is more lenient than the other interpretations regarding to this element, that actually was only for cooking in the pot. Because then when it's going to come out, then it's going to be at least that rabbinic problem about chalav shchut, it's going to be milk, albeit from a slaughtered animal, but then the meat of the udder is going to then reabsorb it because it's cooking in the same pot, and that's going to be problematic, and therefore initially one has to go ahead and tear it. Now, although the Mishnah said that if you don't tear it, you're not going to be violating it, so why is that a problem? So that's because Rav Nachman, in this halach, in this element, held like the second version of Rav, that said, yeah, although you're not going to violate, but he didn't hold this mutter like the first version, in regards to cooking, that he held like the second version in that understanding of our Mishnah, that initially it's going to be prohibited. But the halacha, the braisa, that said it's going to be mutter, even b'diavad, that was talking about regarding roasting. As we said, because there's a pasuk in Devar Yomim that says, yivash la pesach, they cook the carbon pesach, which we know has to be roasting, and therefore you see that it can be referring to roasting, but Rav Nachman is the most lenient in this regard, at least, regarding initially, regarding roasting, that there one doesn't have to tear it at all. Actually, he gave his wife this roasted chal with the milk inside, even initially. However, the Gemara asks, but for Ketani, but even the brice that said it's permitted, which we're explaining was talking about roasting, shebishloi, it says that it was cooked, which again, that brice most definitely is talking about roasting, from the fact that it says that it's going to be permitted, because if it's talking about cooking in the pot, then why would it be permitted once the milk goes out and it gets reabsorbed? That was saying that it's going to be forbidden. But even there, where it says it's going to be permitted, d'yevit in, it says it in the after-the-fact terminology. If you cook it, then it's permitted. But like a tchilalai, initially not. How could he have gone and roasted initially without tearing out anything for his wife Yalta, the udder with the milk inside? Says the Gemara, now, huadin dafalika tchila. He actually holds, even initially, one is allowed to go ahead and take the udder with the milk inside and roast it. No, so why is he shibishli, that if it was cooked? It's va'aydi de kaboy lemisne seif. It's only because he wanted to say the next halacha. And it spoke about keva, regarding the stomach of the animal that has the milk inside as a continued type of kof yod omen alev, shebishla b'cholba, that if it was cooked with the milk inside, asura, it's forbidden, defil di evinamilai, wants to tell us even after the fact that it's not okay, that one cannot even after the fact. Satan nanami resha, shebishla, therefore the resha also said that was cooked because it wants to keep that same after the fact. But not that here it's only permitted after the fact. Rav Nachman understood that it's even going to be, even like it's chilah, going to be permitted because it never left. There's no problem whatsoever. You don't have to tear it at all. The halacha of our Mishnah that says that one has to initially do that was told much for cooking in the pot. That's where one would require to go ahead and tear it. And if one doesn't, then it's going to be usr. But regarding roasting, that even like it's chilah, one doesn't have to tear anything, and one could, according to Rav Nachman, go ahead and roast it as it. But then, as we saw, there's different opinions. As Rav Nachman says, you don't have to do anything. Other opinions said one has to tear it, but doesn't have to tear it length and width. Others say you have to tear it length and width. And then we had this machlekes in the two versions of Rav regarding what's the halacha if one doesn't tear it. What's going to be? Is that going to be even mutar l'ketchila, or that's going to be at least asa l'ketchila?